Riven Hawthorne could never turn down a challenge. As she climbed the rusted ladder, the city whispered of violence. She tasted it in the slow, sinuous thud, thud of a muffled bass rhythm, in the blare of distant sirens, in the satisfying snick as she loaded her revolver cylinders. Scavengers chattered in the hideout across the street, unaware Riven's crew was about to rob them blind. Her feet hit the balcony, and an eager tremor buzzed through her. This was a chance to prove herself. Rumors about her would ignite like sparks on the oil-stained streets. Riven thumbed her revolver on instinct, her trigger fingers itchy. She couldn't back out now with a chance to pull her crew off of the underworld's dirty bottom rung. She needed one job to go right. One night she could rest easy, not worrying whether they could pay rent for their ramshackle hideout. And once she'd made a name for herself in Requiem's neon-soaked streets, none of the crime syndicates would dare threaten her crew. That's a quote from City of Shattered Light by Claire Wynne. This is YA Book Chat, and I'm your host, Leah Stuhler.
Hi, I'm Michael.
I'm Barbara.
And I'm Lauren.
We are the hosts of Badass Literature Society, a book review podcast where we take book recommendations from listeners like you, read them, and then discuss them on our show.
Join us once a month as we dive into the books you picked and talk about them.
And don't miss our bonus episodes covering all sorts of random bookish topics that come out in between reviews.
Don't worry, if you want to read one of the books, the first part of each episode is designated spoiler-free, so you can listen and see if you'd like to read it, and then come back and listen to the rest later.
You can find Badass Literature Society on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, and anywhere else you like to listen.
Now, back to the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of YA Book Chat. Thank you so much for being here, for your continued support, and for listening to the podcast. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. Today, we are going to be talking about the book City of Shattered Light by Claire Wynne. This is one that came across my radar quite a while ago, actually before it published. And Flux, the publisher, had sent me an ARC. So thank you to them for that. I feel bad that I never got around to it at that time when it published. But the new book, the second book in this series, is just coming out. So I figured this was as good a time as any to finally get to this book and cover it. And then y'all can decide if you want to read it. And then if you do, then guess what? Book two is going to be here and ready and waiting for you. So you can just go one straight to the other. Joining me today is my friend Danny. This is Danny's second time on the podcast. How are you, Danny? Welcome.
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. How's it going for you? Anything new going on?
No, I mean, same old summer, beginning of summertime. So just recalibrating the summer schedules and kids and camp. And I know you know all about that. So
yes, Danny is saying that because it took quite a bit for me to get the time scheduled for her and me to record this today because my kids' camp schedules kept on changing and it was a whole thing. Anyways, but we're here. We made it. So that's good. Are you reading anything right now?
So me and my mom read books together as well. And we just finished a book, The Vibrant Years. So that was a fun read and a really good mother-daughter read. And then I have been trying to get through the Throne of Glass series by Sarah J. Maas. So I'm book three now. So I just started that one. So that's been my reading journey.
Very nice. I just finished my arc of Her Radiant Curse by Elizabeth Lim, and I absolutely loved it. It's a very great companion story to the Six Crimson Crane series that she wrote. Like, it's another one that goes along in that world. So it was really good. And now I'm also reading Beast of Prey by Ayanna Gray, which I've been wanting to read for a long time. I even met her at Y'all Fest last year and had her sign the book, but I still haven't read it yet at that point. I was just like, I know this book is really good and she's really nice. I'm just going to go and have her send it. So it's fine.
Yeah, it'll all work out.
Yeah.
But I am really enjoying it so far. So yeah, that's what I'm working on. And that will, of course, be a future episode as well. So that'll be coming up. But yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about City of Shattered Light. This was a fun book. Again, I had got sent this before it even published as an ARC, and it just took me forever to get to it. So, which I hate, but I'm glad that I finally got the chance to read it. So for everybody listening, just as a reminder, or if this is your first time listening to the podcast, just so you know, we are going to chat the first like 15-ish minutes spoiler free. And then after that, we will go in depth with full spoilers, but I will give you a warning before we get to that point, just in case you haven't read this book yet and you don't want it to be spoiled for you. All right, I'm going to read you the back of the book cover. So to kind of give you guys a plot overview, and then we will get into it. As heiress to a powerful tech empire, 17-year-old Asa Almeida strives to prove she's more than her manipulative father's shadow. But when he uploads her rebellious sister's mind to an experimental brain, Asa will do anything to save her sister from reprogramming, including fleeing her predetermined future with her sister's digitized mind in tow. With a bounty on her head and a rogue AI hunting her, Asa's getaway ship crash lands in the worst possible place, the neon-drenched outlaw paradise, Requiem. Gunslinging smuggler Riven Hawthorne is determined to claw her way up Requiem's underworld hierarchy. A runaway rich girl is exactly the bounty Riven needs, until a nasty computer virus spreads in Asa's wake, causing a citywide blackout and tech quarantine. To get the payout for Asa and save Requiem from the monster in its circuits, Riven must team up with her captive. Riven breaks skulls the way Asa breaks circuits, but their opponent is unlike anything they've ever seen. The AI exploits the girl's darkest memories and deepest secrets, threatening to shatter the fragile alliance they're both depending on. As one of Requiem's 154-hour nights grows darker, the girls must decide whether to fend for themselves or fight for each other before Riven City and Asa's sister are snuffed out forever. So, as you can tell from this description, this is definitely a very futuristic sci-fi story. So, I wasn't sure. Well, when I originally was given the book, I felt like, well, okay, this is really intriguing. And the thing that intrigued me most was, how exactly does she have her sister's brain? Like, what is happening here? Because there's not really much description there. You just know that, like, she has her sister's digitized mind with her somehow. And I was like, okay, I have to find out what this is all about, because that sounds interesting. Plus, the cover for this book is really fun too, because it's like bright neon lights. And then you've got Riven and Asa on the cover, both looking like, you know, total badass girls and like the whole thing. And so,
yeah, that's what got me.
Right?
They say don't judge a book by the cover, but I 100% do.
We all do that. I mean, come on. Everybody does that. We'd all be lying if we said that we didn't. I mean, that's what I was on Edelweiss and NetGalley the other night, like looking for new books to request, as if I don't already have enough. But there's a couple that are coming out this in the fall that I really want to get ARCs of. So I was looking for those, but I literally was just like looking at the covers of them, not even necessarily the names of the book as much, but the covers, you know, to see what the covers looked like. So I did put in some requests for the ARCs that I want, but we'll see. So let's start talking about this. Tell me, Dani, what were some of your overall thoughts and impressions about the book?
So I was drawn to the book because of the cover. I loved the image of the girls on the front. And I like sci-fi movies, but I don't read sci-fi books too often. So this was is a little bit more out of my range, but it was a fun read. I loved the opening scene. I think it really did a good job of quickly setting the tone of where we are. Like, all the world building was just done really fast, and it was easy to comprehend just within that first chapter, the first opening chapter, on that. And then, you know, just reading more of Riven and Asa, the two main characters. It was just really cool. A lot of girl empowerment that I appreciated.
And you're right. Like the first two chapters really do give us a great world building and immediately dive into the worlds. Because chapter one is Riven and her crew. And then chapter two is Asa and her sister and their father. And so, yeah, we immediately are thrust into both of their worlds and see what happens and get like really great pictures of them. Because it's not like they're out like just hanging out and doing nothing. Like chapter one is like Riven and her crew are on a heist. So we're in the middle of this heist that we get thrust into. And then of course, Morfett shows herself during that. So we get like all these characters right away. And then with Asa and her sister and her dad, we're thrust right away into the middle of this like tech, the show that they're doing, for lack of a better word there, show.
It was like a demo, I guess.
Thank you. Yes, a demonstration of her dad's new technology. And they're like right in the middle of it. And, you know, we see right away what's happening there and that something is going on with her sister because her sister's got the tech in her brain. And that's demonstrated right away. So yeah, I love that too, because it just pulls you in right away. There's not kind of a slow buildup. You get immersed in the world right away. And I love when books do that. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I didn't have to read five chapters before I could figure out like, okay, here's the rules of the world and whatnot. So yeah, exactly. So that made it easy to get into. And also, I mean, this is what sci-fi does. It asks, you know, like what are the ramifications of technology? But this book, you know, what we're dealing with now with all the wearable technology and the AI, I'm like, oh man, like this is so relevant to what's going on today. I can't go anywhere without someone. I was at a restaurant yesterday and they were talking about AI and what was going to do for their company. I'm like, I can't get away from this.
No.
Everyone's talking about it. So it was interesting to read this world where that technology is so relevant and the ramifications that they're dealing with because of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and as long as in our real world, nobody comes up with this technology that Asa and Kaya's fathers do, we're good, you know, because his technology is not so good there, messing with the human brain. So I don't want that, but
no, nobody. I mean, they don't want it.
No,
either. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I think It was a good sci-fi read for sure, and it was fun.
Yeah. And I do love the contrast between the two locations, because Asa and Kaya and their dad live on Cortellion, and then Riven and her crew on Requiem. And Requiem is this total, like, it's a bad place to be. Like, it's all...
Yeah, it's more like
Requiem is dangerous. Pretty, yes, thank you.
Underbelly kind of vibe. What I got. Yeah.
Yes, it is. But it's like, it's neon. Like everything is this neon city, all the neon lights everywhere, which is really cool. And then Cortellion is like the complete opposite of that. And it's this, and especially because Asa and Kaya and their dad, you know, their dad is like a gazillionaire, whatever, right? So they live a very, very, very privileged life and are, you know, like Asa's gonna take over the company and she's the heir to the company. And so they just have all this money and all these fancy clothes that they're wearing and all the things. It's totally the opposite. So
yeah,
it's a great contrast.
Very sheltered for sure.
Yes, very much. But we have some really fun characters in it too. Riven and her crew are great. Morfett, I love her. And then Asa, of course, is great because we don't really get a lot of her sister in the book, but her sister is going to be more, well, I can't say that. Never mind. I can't say that yet. We don't get a lot of her sister, but you know, what we get of her at the beginning, we get a little bit of a taste of what she's like, but Asa fighting for her sister is really cool. One of my favorite things though, is that even though this is a sci-fi book and it's like, you know, very futuristic and we have all this AI and all this different tech, Riven carries good old Smith & Wesson revolvers that she even names Verdugo and Blackjack. So I love that. I think it was just great that we've got this like old West, Swiss and West, you know, Smith and Wesson revolver components.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of all this, and she just is like, I just like them a lot more.
Yeah. Her guns are cool.
And she, we have moments in it too, where she like spins them around on her fingers, like you would see in like the old West movies. It says in the book, the guns were unhackable old tech, no wires, no circuit boards, guided by her hand, not some AI, which is really cool because everything else in the world is all this AI and somebody else can control it. But those she has control of, they can't, you know, no virus is going to take them out, fortunately for her.
Yeah, so. It gives it a more like a grounded feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. It's more tactical, you know, like she is, like I said, she can control it. She's not dependent on technology hacking into it or anything. So.
Yeah. And I liked that too, because there is so much technology in this book, but at the same time, we do have this separation where she's still able to do things on her own and in her own power and with her revolvers instead of just relying on the tech all the time. Now, she does have her little wristlet that she uses, but even still, we've got this one aspect and she's like, yeah, I can do this without the AI. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed too watching Riven and Asa's relationship develop, because we have an enemy to lovers trope here. Actually, we kind of have like two love tropes, because we have an enemies to lovers, but then we also kind of have a love triangle in this story in a way. So
yes,
this is interesting.
And I have some thoughts about it that we can talk about after this section, but It was interesting for sure. Mm-hmm. I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also a little bit confused most of the time.
Okay. Because of the relationships?
Yeah. Just
the triangle
that forms in. Yeah. So we can get further into it, but overall I was slightly confused, but it was interesting for sure.
Yeah. And if you haven't read this book yet, here's the reason that this is confusing. And I'm going to say it's not a spoiler. The characters in the story. So Riven and Asa actually are both bi. They both like guys and girls. So, you know, having a crew full of guys and girls can be, you know, difficult. You can find yourself attracted to one or the other, both. So that's kind of where our love triangle comes in, and it gets tricky with one of the other characters as well as with Riven and Asa. So yeah.
And at the end, I'll save it.
Well, and then Samir also, like, because Samir is gay, but I was a little, there are some like wisecracks that are made about him and another character. And I was like, are they joking or does he actually have feelings for that character? So I don't know. So that was a little tricky too, but it's fun. So yeah, two kind of love tropes here, enemies to lovers and then our love triangle. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Gave us lots of interesting dynamics, but either way, it was great to see like how their relationships developed. I'm always curious, like how enemies to lovers is going to go, you know, but usually it ends up like in this one where they kind of were dependent upon each other. It starts out as like, you know, Riven, like, ooh, I can take Asa and she can, and I can get money for her, you know, cause there's a bounty on her head, but then it turns into, oh, I actually need her now to help me with this thing. So.
Yeah. And Riven, I really liked Riven because, I mean, she's just total badass 100% of the time. But I liked her too because I see her character in like male characters. Like she was like broody. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of like she put her feet on the table and like, you know, she kind of like stuck around and stuff. I'm like, this is how I see a lot of male characters described in books, but this was a girl. So that was cool.
And because it's her crew. So having like a girl, you know, a teenager who's in charge of the crew instead of having a guy lead the crew was actually really cool also.
Yeah. Being the the alpha, but it's a female mm-hmm. alpha, and she's not like super girly, but she's not like super masculine either, but she does right. have some features that I usually see from a male. And so it was refreshing to be like, okay, like you can still be a girl and still be like badass boss lady and not
of
be
course.
Too,
and too not be girly or anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
And not be like prissy or yeah. So it was a good dynamic. And I liked seeing that. It's just something different.
Yeah, it was cool. All right. Any other final thoughts before we move on to our spoilers?
I think I'm ready to move on.
Okay.
Spoiler section.
We have a lot to say about that. So, All right. So if you have not yet read City of Shattered Light by Claire Wynne, and you do not wish to have anything spoiled, then this is where you would stop listening to the episode. And then after you read the book, come on back and finish listening. But if you have read the book, or if you just don't care about spoilers, then by all means, continue listening. So let's start with Asa and Kaya and their crazy dad. Oh my gosh. So their dad is the most powerful tech mogul in the whole star system. So he's got this like huge tech empire, and he is now like doing experiments on people, or has been. And one of which is like, they have this brain technology that Kaya has where he's trying to experiment with like humans using their brains to control machines. So we've got that. And that's what we see when we first meet them for the demonstration, because Kaya is using her brain tech and she's got this like a metal node that's embedded behind her ear, which is like a link to her brain and then to the technology. And she can like plug stuff in to it, which I was like, that's weird, but okay. But it makes sense.
It's like, oh, let me just plug in this USB real quick. I'll get your file out.
Right? Like, it was kind of weird. Like, when they were going through her dad's, like, lab area and trying to, like, look into Project Winter Dark, and she's just, like, plugging into stuff. I was like, okay. I mean, I would think it would make her feel like she was a robot a little. You know?
Yeah. But she seemed pretty fine with it, because I guess she hasn't really known anything else.
Right. Except that then when they do this demonstration, it ends up causing Kaya a lot of pain. And because they don't realize, because it goes wrong, and they don't realize at first that it's the AI virus, which we encounter mm-hmm. later. But like, her ears are bleeding, she's in a lot of pain. And so, you know, Asa's kind of like, I don't want you to have to do this anymore. Has this ever happened to it? You know, and Kaya's like, oh, well, he says it's fine and I just need to concentrate harder. But, you know, I don't know. Because she says, like, the week before, her head hurt so badly that she thought she was dying. So then Asa's like, what did I just inherit? Like, wait a minute. I thought this was okay. But
yeah, because in the news, because in the news, In their world, also, like, before the demonstration, there was all this like articles about like how like the bad stuff that he was doing, mm-hmm. and also was it? She was like, "No, my dad would never do that."
Yeah, Asa's a bit naive.
Happening to her sister.
Yeah, so then she starts questioning it. So they look into what it is, and then they find out that Project Winter Dark was created. The whole phase of the experiment was created based on Kaya. So, and then, you know, and she realizes that she's just a commodity to her father, and that's it. And then we find the unthinkable. We find the Eitri brain. So the Eitri, I couldn't figure out like what kind of creatures they are, except I don't know, some sort of like alien creature, I guess, who are intelligent and whose brains can be used in these experiments.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, just alien thing. I don't know.
Yeah, because we don't really get a huge description of the Eitri, but, well, because it says that they had been extinct, before humans reach the Alpha Centauri star system to settle Requiem and Cortellium, and that all that remains of the Eitri civilization are crystalline ruins and fossilized bones. So we don't really know what they looked like, but their dad has this Eitri brain, we find out. And he's doing experiments on that. So what's crazy too is that they find out that there was like another girl who looks just like Kaya. Her name was Sophie. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what the heck? Who is that? And they find out that she was experiments that were done on her as well.
So is Kaya a clone? I feel like her dad just made her in the lab.
That's the impression that I got.
There's also no talk about a mom either. Yeah. So
that's the impression that I got.
Yeah.
Like later in the book, let me see if I have it. Okay. So at the end, Asa is asking her dad about Kaya and the project. And he says, Kaya is everything we needed, 18 years in the making. Kaya's mind can handle Winterdark experiments, unlike all the glitch addicts we pulled from Requiem. So he raised her, and then it says he'd raised Kaya, given her the world, only to cut her apart. But it doesn't say, it doesn't really say how they were born. Like, it doesn't say anything about their mother ever in this book.
Yeah, so I don't know, I thought it was interesting. I was like, okay, this guy has two daughters, Asa's older, so why wouldn't he have used Asa? Unless Asa is his real daughter, and then Kaya is just something that he grew in a lab, so he's not as attached to her.
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably wasn't using Asa either, because at the same time, he had like Sophie, and then who he experimented on, and then also he says he was experimenting on people from Requiem as well, but then
so
they weren't working.
Asa.
Right. He didn't need to use Asa because they were doing those experiments, but then they weren't working. So then we had Kaya, and he used Kaya for all 18 years of her life, which is really sick when you think about it. Their dad is horrible. He's this horrible human being.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Did not like him.
No. So yeah. And then
and it gets worse.
Yeah. Well, because then they're going to run away and Asa's not sure, but then her sister like disappears and then she can't find her. And then her dad's like, oh, now that you're the heir, let me bring you down here and show you what I've been working on. And poor Asa gets down there to the Winterdark lab and sees Kaya's body in a, container thingy.
Some kind of pod thing,
Thank you. Yes. A life pod of sorts. But next to it is this brain. And her dad tells her it's the Eitri brain. And that Kaya's like actual brain is now hooked up into the Eitri brain. So like he transferred it. So Kaya's body is in this life support pod, but her brain is inside this Eitri brain, which is weird. In itself, it took me a little bit to kind of wrap my head around what happened there. I was like, wait, what? What did he do? So he transferred her brain into it. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, I think that part I was like, sci-fi science stuff. Okay, like just go with it.
Yes, right. Let's see. He says, human brains never took the reprogramming well, but now we have a living Eitri organ. It took us 20 years to develop. So Kaya is my first successful mind upload. Human brains cannot interface with computer data, but Eitri brains can, and their neutral structure can be wiped and rewritten like software, which is why I've rewritten this with her mind. So like, he wiped out the Eitri brain and its memories or whatever. So he thought anyway, and then put Kaya's like brain substance into it somehow in a fantastical sci-fi way.
Yes. There you go.
So yeah. And she can communicate like through this machine that he has her hooked up to, but she won't talk to him. So he wants Asa to wake her up and command her to talk. And also is like, are you out of your mind? So yeah, that's where we get to start. It's great. Imagine having a father like that.
Yeah, I can't. He's a bad dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, so then Asa like breaks in and she steals the brain, and Josiah, who works for her father, takes the body, and he's like, I'm going to take the body to Earth. You get the brain, and then we'll meet there and we'll put her back together. And Asa's just like, okay, great. Sounds good. Now let me ask you this. Did you at all suspect Josiah at the beginning?
100%.
Okay. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I was like, I trust this guy. And like, she kept like trying to meet up with him, but then like stuff would happen. Or he's like, oh, I can't yet. Or I don't know. Or do you have, like, he was really like, do you have the brain? Do you have it? Huh? And I was like, I don't trust this guy.
And now, like, I know that she was desperate to save her sister, but at the same time, he was sending up a whole lot of red flags. And how?
But Asa is also very naive. I feel like it didn't even register her, like, this is not normal.
No, because she was just like, oh, somebody else who's willing to help me save my sister and get her away from my crazy dad. Awesome. But it didn't register with her at all. It was a little too easy. Josiah was a bit too eager to help and grab
it. This is also the same girl that took candy from a stranger, and that did not go well.
I mean, what are we all taught since the time that we're little? Don't take candy from a stranger.
And that's the first thing she does. So
she is so naive. Sorry, but like, she kind of deserved some of the stuff that happened to her on Requiem because, yeah.
She needed it. It built some good character. She learned some good lessons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So she takes a brain and tries to escape, right? And then the virus starts attacking, which they call Banshee, and it attacks everything. Let me tell you, this virus that was attacking like all the things on Cortillion and then on Requiem was like scary. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, what if somebody does that? Like, somebody could, with all the technology that we have today, that scares the crap out of me. Like, that somebody could develop some kind of virus like this that could just get into like everything technological and just shut the world down.
Yeah. I mean, I forget how reliant we are on electricity. Like, mm-hmm. if we have a blackout or something, I'm like, oh, I can't, like, crap, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I'm very hesitant about getting all these smart devices in my house because I'm like, no, it's going to take over. I don't want these in the house when they take over. I just want something tactical that I can touch with my hands and control it. I don't want it.
That's right. Or the government spying on me. Forget that it could also take over. The government could be spying on me. I mean, it's like, because it's so crazy how you look up, like, I looked up something yesterday. And then this morning I went on Facebook for like 2 minutes and was like, oh my God, there's an ad for that thing. Then it's not even like Facebook versus like a random search that I did somewhere else. But yeah, it pops up. It knows, and I'm like, creepy.
Is when you just think about it, and then all of a sudden you see it. It's happened to me a couple of times where I'm like, uh-huh. I swear I didn't talk about this to anybody. I just thought about it,
and then there it is.
And
it
then is the creepy. Ad comes up for it. I'm like, okay, that's a little weird.
So yeah, I am not like this technology that's in this book was really kind of freaking me out a little bit. But the virus, what I thought was cool is that we find out later that the virus is actually an Eitri creature who's in fact not dead, but it doesn't have its own body. So it like takes over other bodies.
Yeah, I guess like its consciousness is just going into these devices and stuff because it can, the Eitri brains can talk to computers. So
yeah, and he wants his brain back. So he's chasing after Asa to get his brain back.
That's fair.
I agree. That is fair.
Then Riven, like, stowaway, or not Riven, Asa, like, comes a stowaway on Morfett's ship because the dad has now put out, like, a bounty on Asa.
No, didn't she get, like, on some kind of traveling? It wasn't on Morfett's ship. Morfett just happened to be on it. It was like a transport.
Okay. I thought it was her ship. Mm-mm. She was like stowing away on it.
No, it was just like a cheap transport taking her from Corteleon to Requiem, and Morfett happened to be on it because, as we find out shortly thereafter, Morfett was hired by Asa's dad to track her down, and Morfett is a bounty hunter. She is super fun because I was looking at when... because the second book just came out on May 20th, and I was looking at pictures from it because the author has been, Claire Wynne has been posting them. And Morfett is just such a fun character because she wears her hair up in like the like twin kind of like buns up on top of her head. She's always blowing bubblegum, and she is like half cyber herself. Like she's not right.
Like
full
she's a
human.
Cyborg.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's got all these like cybernetic parts and all these things, but she loves chewing gum, which she poisons.
Yeah.
Poor naive Asa finds out very quickly when she accepts gum from Morfett, because Morfett seemingly rescues her from somebody who's on the transport. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wanted to talk about too, like her, the characters, like Riven and her band of characters, plus Morfett, obviously. Okay, Ty. Okay, so Ty is super
sweet. Ty.
He is. He's super sweet, and it's so obvious from the beginning, like when Riven and her crew steal Asa from Morfett. Like it's so obvious right away that he's totally gone on her. And he's got a crush on her, and it's really sweet and cute. I loved Ty. What did you think about him?
I also liked him. He's just so sweet and had just, you know, a lot of integrity. Like he's the crew medic, right? So he's got like that like paramedic thing where he just wants to take care of people. And then his love that he develops for Riv. Even like, you know, they get into it a couple times, and he's like, well, like, but Asa, like, he takes Asa's side a lot, and defends her, even when Asa was like, you don't have to do that. He's like, no, like, you're good. It's fine.
And, yeah, and he and Riven have an interesting relationship because, okay, so Riven dated Ty's brother, Emmett, and they loved each other, but then Emmett gets killed, and he died, so Ty and Riven... have that.
He's like her
connection.
Little brother.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've got that connection. They're really close to each other too. And that's a great relationship. But then it does make it awkward when Riven starts to develop feelings for Asa. And then Ty has feelings for her. And poor Asa is like confused and feeling things for both of them. And then.
Yeah. Which I don't. So I'm not a big fan of love triangles. Trope to begin with. I'm always like, what are you doing, girl? Just walk away from both of them, you know? Choose yourself. So that's how I felt about love triangles. But then it was like, okay, so Asa really wanted Riven's approval, and she wanted Riven to like her, which I was like, okay. But then it seemed like more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, like that's fine too. But then like Ty would talk to her, and then also feel feelings for Ty. And then that's where I was like, what are you doing, Asa? Like,
she was
head
very,
in the game, woman.
She was very confused because they're both like giving her attention and both, you know, and then she starts feeling feelings for both of them. I mean, and Ty, I mean, he's the cute, sweet paramedic. How can you, he fixes her up and makes her feel better. You know what I mean? Like, how can you refuse that? And then they have to like, they pretend this is what it always happens, right? When we have the fake like relationship or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like whole fake relationship, but they pretended that they were together or whatever when they were in that nightclub and trying to get in to see, was it Diego or the other guy? And, yeah. You know, so then they like Ty kisses her and they make out. And then she was like, whoa, I actually am like really feeling stuff, you know? And then they're both like all embarrassed about it. But then, and then later after the screw up with whatever happened, then Ty and her have this like, oh, after it's after everybody finds out who she is, because she, because Asa lies to them and doesn't tell them who she is because she doesn't want them to know. So she gives them a different name. And so they don't know. But then when they find out, she's like, oh, Riven is really pissed at me. And Ty comes in to talk to her. And then they have that like, you know, heart to heart conversation. And that's where their like actual like sweet, you know, kiss happens and she's all into it. But then she's all like, I'm still having feelings for Riven. So yeah, I'm not a huge love triangle fan either. In this case, I just felt really bad for Ty because yeah, I felt like
he was very unaware of the Riven Asa triangle. And like Riven would kind of be like, well, like she is cute and she is sweet. And I'm like, Riven, what are you doing?
Right.
So,
because like from Riven's perspective, though, like it's interesting because she kept on thinking about Emmett, you know, mm-hmm. who she had been with and loved. And he's Ty's brother and she's got a strong relationship with Ty. And then she was like, but they kissed, but I really like Asa now. I'm starting to develop feelings for her. So it was just a whole weird, crazy thing.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. So I was just like, wait, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Who likes who? They all like each other. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just move on.
And then, yeah. So Ty and Asa kiss twice in the book and then Riven mm-hmm. and Asa kiss as well, but later after the fact. So
yeah,
more towards the end, but still. And then Asa's like, I don't know, but then it kind of gets made easier because we all think Ty is dead. And so no other option is there except for Riven and Asa to be together because Ty is out of the picture.
Right. See? Which I was like, wait, like 2 seconds ago, you were all into Ty and then now he's dead and you're like, okay, well, like, I guess I'll go with Riven.
I know. She's just a confused teenager, but it's okay.
And I just felt like the mission was a bit more pressing and
mm-hmm.
they didn't need to worry about that right now, but whatever.
And you know, it's always the sweet characters who die. Like, of course it was Ty. If somebody was going to have to die, it would have to be him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's yep. the sweet one.
Yeah, and he sacrificed himself for the yes. for the cause.
He did. Yeah, it was sad. But, you know, he's not really dead, actually. Although it probably would have been better if he had been dead, you know, considering what his fate is now. But we'll talk about that after. Okay.
Yeah.
So we also have Samir, who he was a good mm-hmm. character, but I don't know. He didn't like stand out as much to me as some of the other characters did, but he was there. He was part of the group. He's got some funny lines. Okay. So Samir have feelings for Ty. That's where I was.
Samir and Ty?
Did he, or who is Samir? Cause they kept on teasing him and I thought somebody had teased him about Ty, but then he was like, what? I don't know. Or Samir just kind of like. Oh, I thought
it was Samir and the tech guy, Diego,
right? That's what it was. Thank you. I was trying uh-huh. to remember. I was like, okay, no,
yeah,
it was Diego.
I couldn't
okay.
tell what was happening there. I was like, wait, are they together? Are they not? Oh, they used to be together. No, that's not right. Like, I was confused.
There was a lot of like
them as well.
Yeah, because there was a lot of relationships that people used to be together. Like Samir uh-huh. and Diego, and then Riven and Emmett, but then Riven and the other guy too, like the bad
Marcus,
guy, Marcus.
Name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He was like a real.
Oh, he was a real piece of work.
Dodged a bullet there.
I agree. Marcus was definitely a real piece of work.
Yeah.
Nobody should be with that one. So yeah. So it was some of it was confusing as far as their relationships, but it's fine. Okay, so Riven, we've talked about Riven a little bit, but she's really strong. She's smart. She's got her Smith & Wesson guns, which I love. She, though, we find out, we don't get a lot of information about it, but we just find out that like she had a rough childhood because she came mm-hmm. from foster care. So she's gone through a lot. And then she's got, okay, her little like wrist tech, Galateo, that Emmett made for her, which is like computer on her wrist, kind of like friend AI and has its own personality. It reminded me of, have you read the Aurora cycle, Aurora Rising?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, in those books, one of the characters has something similar. Its name is Magellan, and it's the same type of tech where like he can talk to it and it's kind of its own character and and has a like its own AI personality, and you know, it helps them through all the things. So Galateo was kind of like that.
For me, it reminded me of Jarvis from the Marvel Iron Man.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just like that. I do like Jarvis too.
Yeah, Jarvis is great.
So Riven's our leader. Asa, we talked about a little bit, right? Spoiled rich girl, very naive, heir to her father's company and fortune, but loves her sister very much. And then will go to any length to save her sister, including killing people for the first time, which she does. And she's like, what? So there's that. But poor thing. She's just so naive. So naive. And then Morfett. Okay. She's our fun, bad guy, bad girl.
Yeah.
But I love her because she's super sassy, you know, like she can take care of herself, but she's sassy. She's got all of her tech, her cybernetics that are a part of her. Like her arm is like a whole, is all weaponry. It's all weaponry.
Yeah. And like Riven would get frustrated with all her tech gadgets that she would like counter the attacks with.
Yeah, because Riven's got her revolvers, and then Morfett's like, ha ha, because she's got this like cybernetic,
like a bulletproof shield thing.
Yep, and then she's got an armor vest, a cybernetic blade that runs along her forearm, and that's anchored to her bone somewhere. So she's which reminded me of Wolverine from X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
Except much more dangerous in Morfett's case. I feel like. So, but I really liked Morfett a lot. Like she's that character who like, okay, she's technically like the bad guy in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, Asa and Kaya's dad is really the real bad guy when you think about it because of what he's done. And he is the whole reason that they're in this situation. But Morfett's supposed to be like, you know, she's the rival gang member on Requiem, trying to, you know, building a name for herself, just like Riven. Like Riven wants to be, it's like, you know, rival gangs, and Riven wants to be the top gang, but Morfett's up there.
Yeah. I mean, Morfett was definitely the foil for Riven.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one's more hands-on, one's all cyber and robotic-ish.
But she's like the one that you love to hate, and you almost like, there's almost this feeling of like, I love that they're enemies, but I almost feel like they could work together too. And it would be really fun if they did work together.
Yeah. You know? I'm curious about that in the coming books. Cause at the end of this one, you find out that Morfett like she does have a reason for the way she is. And Riven kind of like empathizes with her and doesn't kill her, which I'm like, oh, that's gonna come back.
Of course.
But I'm curious. I'm like, oh, I wonder if maybe she'll get a redemption story in the next books or so.
I wonder too. I kind of feel like, yeah, I feel like in the next book she's probably gonna end up helping them in some capacity. That's my guess. So, and what'll be great is that in the next book we have Kaya all put back together.
Oh, okay.
Like mind and body, because they put her back together at the end of this book. So reconnected her brain. Although, okay. So the end of the book, let's talk about it and we'll get to this. So, okay. First of all, I felt like, I mean, obviously in a story, you have to have obstacles, right? And things that go wrong, or else the story is going to be boring. But it was just like, they just kept hitting like wall after wall after wall after wall. I got to a point where I was like, when is this going to end? Are we close to finishing this?
Me too. Like, I would get to them like, okay, like after this one, then it'll be like the conclusion. Nope, one more. And then, okay, well, after this one,
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll be the conclusion. Nope. So buckle in, just, everybody.
Yep. It was just very, very lots of things. It was tricky. But that's how she kept you on the edge of your seat, though, for it, because you had to keep going with it. So
yeah. And in the middle of it, I was just kind of like, okay, like, can we just get there? But then at the end, like, it pays off. It pays off. It does.
Yeah, it does. Okay. So her dad figures out. So Asa and Kaya's dad figures out that she is on Requiem, but he doesn't, like, you know, and he sends his like goons, his mech droids there. He doesn't go, but he talks to her through them. And they have that whole conversation we talked about earlier, where Asa's like, you planned this all along to use Kaya from the beginning. And her dad is like, he's just one of those villains where he thinks that what he's doing is actually really good. Cause he's like, someday you'll realize what we do is necessary. So I'm willing to give you another chance. Come back, Asana. She's like, you're out of your mind. There's this line in here that I love. It says, realization cracked like a glow stick. I loved that analogy. I just think it's so fun, because anybody who's ever done a glow stick, I mean, you got to like shake it and then, you know, crack the thing. I just think that was a really fun analogy. But then she says, this was how her father saw her, a naive, sheltered girl incapable of thinking for herself, which she was at the beginning of the book, for sure. Mm-hmm. But then she changes along the way and is not so naive anymore at the end, which is good. All right. So he comes, he sends all his like mech droids, whatever, after her, and they're all trying to escape. And then Ty traps himself to take on the guards so that everybody else can escape. And that's where he dies, or so we think, or they think that he's dead. They don't know. They all think that he's dead.
Right.
And then we have our kiss between Asa and Riven, which happens here at the end, because that's when it always has to happen, right? We're in the high stakes of things. My life is in danger. I'm going to kiss you now before we die so that I don't regret this.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yes. And Asa's like, maybe it was wrong after Ty had kissed her, but she might never have another chance. And this was one memory she had to take with her. So she's like, oh, I kissed Ty and now he's dead, but she's kissing me and I like it. So I'm going to go along with it. I was like, okay. So they kind of go their separate ways for a little bit, figuring stuff out. Okay. Here's what I felt like was really cool. So they get to this ship, right? And the Banshee, we're just going to call him Banshee because I can't pronounce his other name, is like in the system. And so Asa hooks up Kaya's brain to the ship, and then she's able to talk to Kaya through the ship. And then Kaya goes into the system and like into the wiring system in order to defeat the Eitri creature.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I really like that a lot. It was because I was like, how are they going to defeat this thing? I figured out that Josiah was a traitor and other things. I could not figure out how they were going to defeat him. And I thought that was a really creative way to do it.
Yeah. So, and this, I think this goes back to like the sci-fi magic thing. But okay, so the Eitri has his brain, but Kaya was using the Eitri's brain, right?
Okay, so
I'm so confused.
I know. So Kaya's dad transferred like her brain synapses, her brain function into the Eitri brain. So essentially
the physical Eitri brain.
Right, into the physical Eitri brain. So like if he woke up Kaya's body in the life support pod, she wouldn't be able to think or do anything because she doesn't technically have a brain. Like she has a physical brain, but there's nothing in it to make it function. That part is now inside the physical Eitri brain in the test tube canister. And so Asa hooks up the physical Eitri brain that is home to Kaya's other brain to into the ship, because Kaya's brain can go into the wiring system where the Eitri's consciousness is and can defeat him that way. Very sci-fi. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's clear as mud. Glad we got that situated.
Just don't think about it too much.
Yeah. So, okay. That might just be the sci-fi magic wand.
It is. I find with sci-fi books like this, it's best to just let it be. Just accept it and move on. Yep. Because if you think about it too much, there's no way on earth it's going to make any sense. And it's fine. It's fine. Okay. You just accept it and move on. Otherwise, it's too confusing also. And you spend way too much time trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, Kaya defeated the
thing. She defeats the E-tree. Yep. Yes. And Diego had grabbed Kaya's body. So they've got Kaya's body and her E-tree brain both together on the ship. Her brain defeats the E-tree consciousness in the wiring. So that's done. And things, Requiem can now be repaired because the virus is gone, because he was the virus. So then they've got her body and they take her to get out to get her put back together. And they do get her put back together. They take her somewhere. I don't remember where, but
They take her back to Earth, to Australia, where it's just so weird.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They're like, oh, like, what is this? We're going to someplace called Australia.
Because they've never been there before. They don't know what this is. But yeah, but they get her put back together, and then everything's happy. Yay, you're put back together. And obviously, I think we can tell that, you know, Kaya is probably going to become part of Riven's crew along with Asa for the next book.
Yeah.
And then we have our epilogue. We find out that Ty is in fact not dead. He was taken by the girl's father's droids. And now he is on Cortellion and they are doing experiments on Ty. And we have, whereas Kaya was Project Winterdark, Kai is now Project Echofall. And he has cybernetic parts now. They gave him cybernetic parts.
His arm.
Brought
up. Yeah.
Which probably needed to be because it was destroyed from the fight.
Yeah, they said that they saw him get shot in the arm and then the smoke. So then they're like, okay, he's dead.
Yeah. So he's got his whole like arm is cybernetic now.
And they think his eye, they replace his eye, it sounds
yes,
like.
His eye too. His face stared back, but where his left eye should be, a blue light glared. So he is Project Echofall. It says E-tree cellular matrix. So now what are they going to do with him? Are they going to do the same type of thing with like E-tree brains? Or because we don't get anything more than that it says E-tree cellular matrix. So
yeah, whatever that means.
Right. What are they trying to do with him now with the E-tree? Are they trying to like see how much they can make him into an E-tree or how his brain works? So,
well, I think the whole mission was just kind of like to make super soldiers.
Right.
I think they're going to try to make Ty into some sort of super soldier, especially since they don't have the E-tree brain anymore.
Yep.
He's got to do something. Yeah. And then I was happy that Ty did not die.
Yes, me too.
So I was like, yes, he lives. But then, of course, I'm like, oh, how's he going to get out of this one?
Because now here's the thing, like what's going to happen in the next book, right? So now we have to think about how is Almeida, how is the girl's dad going to use Ty? Are they going to have to like rescue? Like, first of all, they think that he's dead. So when they see him for the first time, what's this going to be? Is their dad going to like send him to chase after Asa and Kaya and Riven and her crew? Or like, what are they going to accidentally see him? Because he's back on Cortellion and they're on Requiem. So there's just they were in Australia, but I imagine for the next book, they're going to end up back on Requiem. Like, there's just a lot of questions involved in there. And then it's like, is he going to be like reprogrammed and is he not going to remember them? Or is he going to be trained to like do evil? Are they going to have to rescue him? There's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of questions.
Like he's clearly thinking for himself in the epilogue though, and saying mm-hmm. that he's gonna do what he can to protect her. Cause he knows that, you know, like she's probably still alive and she would have survived. So he wants to save Riven and protect her because he swore to his brother Emmett that he always would. So he's thinking for himself there, but it does also say that he feels a shock in the back of his neck, like when he starts to talk too much. So obviously they're controlling something in his head as well. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna, I'm definitely gonna read the book, the second book.
Yeah.
And yes, it's gonna be interesting.
It is, because Kaya now is back together. And so Kaya is a player in it because she's going to be in on the crew. Okay. Do you want to hear the description of the second book?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So the second book is called City of Vicious Night, and it just came out on May 20th. All right. So it says, it's been 4 months since runaway heiress Asa crash-landed on the matriarchal outlaw colony Requiem, bringing a nasty AI and a host of deadly secrets with her. Now she runs with her almost-girlfriend, Riven's smuggler crew, stealing kisses between gunfights and heists. But when a mysterious hacker sabotages their latest job, other gangs turn against them, blaming them for the destruction the rogue AI caused. Nowhere in the city is safe. The only way to protect their crew is a series of trials for control of an underworld faction, and vying for a matriarch's throne is a dream Riven can't let go. And she did talk about that in this one, like, because she almost traded Asa in to Marcus because she wanted the status of being the matriarch. So she was mm-hmm. going to give Asa to Marcus, and Asa was like, excuse me.
You're gonna yeah. do it.
So I guess, so she's still going after that. Then it says, but as the trials intensify, the saboteur hounds Asa and Riven's every step, determined to kill Asa and right her father's wrongs. When the saboteur reveals a horrific conspiracy threatening all of Requiem, one involving the crew member they thought they'd lost, the girls must decide whether to risk their own skins for a city that loathes them. So here's my question. Is Ty going to be the saboteur?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That would be my guess. Because it seems like that's a big part.
So, I wonder if they like reprogram Ty. He goes in, he sees them, and they're like, Ty. And he's like, I don't know this Ty. Uh-huh. It's like that shit thing, and they gotta like wake him back up.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
And I did see where Claire Wynn, she's been posting a lot on Instagram for the release of the new book. And uh-huh. so she's got a lot of really cool pictures and images of the crew that look awesome. And for this second book, for City of Vicious Night, she's given them new outfits and they look really cool. I love their new outfits that they have here. And the pictures of like, there was pictures of Morfett and all that kind of thing. So it looks really good. Wait a minute. If you go on, hey, I just discovered something. If you go on Amazon, okay, if you go on Amazon and you look up City of Vicious Night, okay, if you click on the picture, oh, see, it does say look inside. Normally when you click on the picture, it just makes the image bigger. So I clicked on the picture of the cover. But when you open it up, it gives you a sample of chapter one.
Oh,
there's a little bit. Yeah. 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 So you can read chapter one and chapter two. So you can read chapter two. Oh my gosh. Oh, and chapter three. Cause it's giving you a sample of the Kindle version. So you can see it's chapters 1 through 3, and then part of chapter 4. Ooh, a sneak peek. Okay, so everybody, if you're listening still, that means either A, you read this book, or B, you don't care about spoilers. But either way, if you want a sneak peek at City of Vicious Night, go on Amazon because it's there. Ooh, that's so fun. I'm going to have to read that now. All right. So lots of theories for book two, and we're going to see where it goes. Any other thoughts before we wrap up?
No, it just, I'm glad you invited me to read the book, because I don't think I would have read it otherwise unless someone like pushed me into it, because I don't, sci-fi is not really my genre, but it was a fun read, and I'm excited to read the rest of the series. So
yeah, me too. Oh, I think there's only going to be two. It says book two of two.
It's a duology.
Oh, yep. Okay. So it's a duology. So, all right. And it's out. So now you can go and read it whenever you want. And first 3.5 chapters are on Amazon. So, all right. Well, that is it for this episode. So we've got our theories on what's going to happen next in City of Vicious Night, and we will see. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Danny, for being here and chatting again. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad that you enjoyed this sci-fi read, even though it's out of your normal genre.
That's okay. That's what it's about.
Well, good. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here and for listening, and we will chat again soon. Today's episode featured the book City of Shattered Light by Claire Wynn. Be sure to follow YA Book Chat on Instagram and Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get your episodes as soon as they are available. Have you checked out the YA Book Chat Patreon yet? You should. There are great perks at each level. YA Book Chat was created by, is hosted and edited by me, Leah Stuhler.